We're on the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Omer of Yochanan, and you'll see it 2.5 lines up before the end of the Amud, Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Omer of Yochanan, Katan Poreach Mezamnin Olav. So we're talking about a Katan who apparently prematurely, meaning before his bar mitzvah, he's not yet 13 in one day, and yet he showed two saras. And two saras is a siman gadlus, but we need both, in general, we need both shanim and simanim. Not simanim is not enough. So you need, because otherwise we consider it shuma, it's not considered simanim. So you need simanim and shanim. But here in Zimun, apparently, there's a separate halacha, that if we need him as a third person, then we can mitzaref him to the zimun. Tanya nami hachi katan shevi shtei saras mizamlin olav. We can add him to be mashlin the zimun as a third party. And velohevi shalohevi shtei saras ein mizamlin olav. We cannot add him as the third party. So if he had 13 years in a day and he brought shtei saras, then he's a gadol. That's in kol tarkula. And the shear of simonim here, he writes, this is based on a Gemara Nida Nun Beis, is Higia Ser La'arkan Shukidei Lachufam Lachofef Hasaros Shekol Rosh Hasara Tuchal Agia V'Ikara, that the bottom of the Sar, if you fold it over, can reach the Ikar of the Sar, where the Sar is coming out of, so you can fold it over in half. And that's Rashi Shita. Tosa has a Kasha. If he already has shtei saris, but adayin lo higia orech hasaras l'shir shal kedei lachuf rosh kol sar v'tagia l'ikra, v'chein nikra katan poreach sheparcho v'samchu bo saris, aval enom gedolos kefi shir hanitzrach. In other words, according to Tosfos, he has shtei saris, but they don't have the shear of shtei saris. And that alone seems to be enough to consider him as the third party, to be mashlim, the zimun. So if you take a look, he writes, Pirish Rashi, Tivra Masal Kotan, Shevi Shtei Saras, Adain Lo Yigil Lid Ged Mishon V'yom Echad, Lo Nehir Adim Kain, Amai Omer B'Somach Lasuye Kotan Poreach, Hainu Shehevi Shtei Saras, Tiktoni V'Braisa V'Hedja. Al Kain Pirish Rach, he quotes a Benachanan, Kotan Poreach B'Toch Yud Gimel Shonim, Adain Lo Hevi Shtei Saras Yiduos, She'enam gedolos kdei lachuf roshan le'ikran shekachu shi'uran ulahachi korle poreach sheparchu v'tzamchu bo saras aval ein gedolos kol ashir. So the braisa, according to Tosus's pshat, because the Gemara is going to ask the following, the braisa opens up by saying katan shevi shtei saras mezamnin olav shelo hevi shtei saras ein mezamnin olav, and then the braisa adds a seifa v'ein midagdekim b'katan. In other words, we can add him as the third member of the zimon, even though he doesn't have simoni gadlus. So there's a problem here in the braisa. Hagufa kasha amrit hevi shtei saras in. That we can only be mezamin olav if he has shtei saras. That's what it says in the braisa. Lo hevi shtei saras. Lo. We cannot be mitzaref if he doesn't have shtei saras. And then you write, ein medagda bin katan. So in order to answer this question, right, so ein medagda bin katan means you don't need shtei saras. And Even though he's not a gadol, nevertheless you could be mitzarifim. Lasuye mai lav, and here the Gemara Daf Mem Chesam Alf says mishum deika. I'm sorry, lasuye katan poreach. In other words, that the Bryce is coming to teach me that you're not medagdig, and if he's mature, maybe he has already shonim, then we're not medagdig besaris. But the reish of the Bryce indicates that we are medagdig besaris. So Tosis is emphasizing what it says in the Braisa, that Ein Medagdik in Olav, which the Gemara says should be interpreted as Lasuye Katan Poreach. But what does that mean, Katan Poreach? If Rashi is saying that he has two Saris which have the shear of Saris, so what's this concept of Lasuye, the Psachidish here, that even if he's a Katan Poreach and he sprouted these two Saras that he's already considered a Gadol for Zimut. So Tos says the Chiddush is, even though he doesn't have two Saras Yiduros, in other words, he doesn't have the full shear of Saras. Both Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan, as quoted by Tosus, interpret that we're talking B'toch Yud Gimel Shanas. He hasn't reached Shanim. Rashi learns that's really the Chiddush of Poreach here. That's how the Gemara is interpreting the Chiddush of Ein, the Sefer Ein Medagdik in B'Katan. And Rashi says on the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph, Ein Medagdik in Bo L'Chal Shanim Olav. Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that Ein Medagdik in is coming to be Mechadesh Lasuye Kon Poreach, means even though Poreach is Saros or Poreach, but they're not Kishir Galdus. Poreach means they just started growing, so you could just see them, but they're not Kishir. So Rashi on the one hand is saying that we need full Saros, and the Chiddush is that even though he doesn't have Shonim, is a Medagdik, we could be Mitzarefim Tzim. Tosa's learning that not only is he within the 13 years, as he hasn't yet reached Shonim, but moreover, he doesn't really have Simonim either, because it's only an early stage. That's called Poreach. In any event, this Braisa is going to support Rabbi Yochanan, who says the Katan Poreach Mizamnin Olav. So Anaya Din Gadlus, a new Din Gadlus with regard to Zimun. Then the Gemara says, "Veles Hilchsa Kichol Hanishmatata." And all the sugyas that we learned back on Mem Zayin Amud Beis are rejected lahalacha. Ela ki ha de Rav Nachman Katan Hayudei Lebi Mevarchim Mizamnin Olav. So again, according to Rabbeinu Chanan, the Chiddush of the Braisa is that even if he has Shtei Saras Parchos Mizamna Leim, and we're not Medagdik Bashir Shel HaSaros, and we don't need Simoni Gadlus Mamish. Now, what exactly is V'les Hilchasa, we reject Kol Shmuos? Rashi doesn't say anything here. The Meiri says that it's referring to the Sugis Liel, number one, Katan Amutel Barisa Mizamnin Olav, Katan Amutel Barisa Osin Oso Snif Liasora, Tisha V'Eved Mitztarfin, Tesha V'Nirim Kasora Mitztarfin, Tesha V'Yorim Mitztarfin, Shonim V'Shabas Mitztarfin, Shnayim V'Shabas Mitztarfin, Shnei Tamidei Chachamim, Amechadim Zed Zebalach Mitztarfin, Katan Poreach Mizamnin Olav. So it comes out, according to the Meiri, that these sugyas, and there are eight of them, are rejected lahalocha, el ki ha, the Omer of Nachman. Now, it's not clear why Rav Nachman is a stira to all those eight sugyas. That's what we have to learn. Now, if you look at Tosin's Dira Maskev Les, he says Ein kavonas hagemara bivales hilchus. So these words, les hilchus lidchos she'ein lezamin klal al katan poreach. Sharif b'poreach evi hagemara raya mibraisa shumitztarif. So it couldn't be that the Gemara now is rejecting Rabbi Yochanan's statement when the Gemara just supported Rabbi Yochanan with a braisa. It doesn't make sense to reject a braisa just because of Rav Nachman. Ulashitasam, according to Tosfos, Rav Nachman shechole kind of shemosiv shebekotan aporeach tzorch lebodko ha'im yodea l'mim avarchim. So the Rav Nachman is adding another condition. It's not sufficient that the katan is poreach, but you have to also know, make sure that he knows l'mim avarchim. But then he has Rabbeinu Tam here in this Tosfos. Lo bol litchos me'alochas divrei Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi shama katan mamish osin oso snifli asara. That we can add a katan if we have nine gedolim, and we could say alukenu. She can Rav Nachman lo divrei elinyan zima b'shlosha. So he's not rejecting any alochas about asara. He's only talking about shlosha. So it's interesting because in the Meiri's list of halachas that are rejected, he has katan hamutal barisa osin oso snifla sara. Sounds like we're rejecting that, which is against Rabbeinu Tam. Now, when Rav Nachman says katan hayudel mivarcha, means he's not yet 13, and that's the lashon katan. So we're using the language of katan in the way it's used in Kol HaTorah Kula, that he's less than 13. And then he says, "Hayodel lemi mavarchem ezamnin olav." So we are mitzarif him to a zimun, even though he's less than 13, and he's still a katan. And the Rif writes that even if he's 9 or 10, if he's yodel lemi mavarchem ezamnin olav, and that's how the Rambam paskins in Perakei Milchus Brachos. The Rambam has kiven sheva, kiven shmona. So again, without Rashi, it's a little difficult, but it seems from the Meiri's approach that Rav Nachman is rejecting all the kulas that we had. You know, he's going to need 3, he's going to need 10. You know, we're not going to be mitzarif different things like Oron, Shabbos, or Chidud. But he does accept that Katan Poreach Mezamnin Olav. But he adds another condition, that he has to be Yodel Amim Avarchim. So now, again, Katan Poreach might mean that he doesn't have full Saras, that's what we saw in Tosfos, meaning the Saras are not Kishir Gidulo, Kedei Lachov, etc. And that Rav Nachman would accept, but he's adding a condition. Now, it seems that some Rishonim hold that according to Rav Nachman, he already is 13 years old, but he doesn't have full Saras. That's not the way we learn Pshat in Tosfos, because if you look at Tosfos, again, the Lashon of Tosfos, Dir Maskil Katan, he said, Pirush Rabbeinu Chanan al Katan Parech B'toch Yud Gimel Shana. So I'm going to offer another possibility here, that perhaps according to Shita Satosus in the name of Rabbeinu Chanan, B'toch Yud Gimel Shana means he's past Bar Mitzvah. Not the way I thought it was B'toch, he's in the 13th year, he still hasn't reached his 13th birthday. But rather, Kvar Malulo Yud Gimel Shana V'yom Echad. And Katan here means that he doesn't have the full Simoni Saras. Not like the other Rishonim that we mentioned earlier, the Rif and the Rambam and others who would interpret that the word katan here means universal katan, as it's used in kol hashas. That means he's less than Yud Gimel. Maybe he's as young as 7 or 8. And these are two shitos. So we have to present that as machlokas rishonim, that when Rav Nachman says katan, he means, according to some rishonim, that he's less than Yud Gimel Shana, and that would be the Rif, etc. Or he's already past Yud Gimel Shana, but he doesn't have full Simonim, and it means that his Saras are not Gedolos, and that would be Shit Satosis in the name of Rabbeinu Chinana. But in any event, one thing is clear, that Rav Nachman requires Yodei L'mim Mevarchim, and as we said earlier, in the name of the Meiri, and I've repeated it, is that he seems to be rejecting all those possibilities of like Katmuto Barisa, that you could be Mizanlov, or you could be Mitzarefim as a Snifla Sora. And the Meiri says that he rejects a lot of the other coolest that we had to be Mitzaref. But it seems from Tosus in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that we're not rejecting, when the Gemara says less hilchso kol shmat, we're not rejecting Rabbi Shuman Levi, who said katol mutil bar risa osan oso snifla sora, because Rav Nachman is not addressing asora at all, he's only addressing zimun bishlosha. So if Rabbi Shuman Levi, back on the previous omud, was including even lishlosha, in other words, a katol mutil bar risa would even be, that's not Rabbeinu Tam, but he even would be a sniff, meaning a third for the Zeman of Shlosha, then it would seem clearly that Rav Nachman is rejecting that because he requires Yodea L'mim Avarchim. Now the Gemara gives us a little bit of a story about Yodea L'mim Avarchim. Abai v'rova haviyasvi kami d'rava. So they were very young children, and they were sitting in front of Rabba, and perhaps they were eating in a suda. Amaluhu Rabba l'mim avarchim. Rabba wanted to sort of test them to see if they could, if they're mature enough, these young children, to be considered, as Rav Nachman had just said it, Yodei l'mim avarchim. Amrile, so they both gave the following answer, Rachmona, where Mavarech Ta'Kodesh Baruch. So Rabba tests them, investigates even further. He says, Rachmona Heche Yasif, where is God? Rava Achve, Lishmei Tlola. Tlola means to the roof. In other words, Rava was sitting where he was, and he points with his finger towards the roof. And he's hinting that the Shekhinah is up in Shemaim, above the roof. Abai goes a step further, Nafik Libara, he goes outside, Achvei Klapishmai, and he points towards the Shemaim themselves, not towards the roof. Maybe he wanted to show that he was an original thinker. Or perhaps he was connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a more direct way, so to speak. Amalu Rabba Travaihu, you both Rabban and Havisu become Talmidei Chachamim, outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. Meaning, I can tell already in your very young years that you're Miyuad Lagadlus, so you're going to be great. And Rabbeinu Yonah wants to prove from the Gemara's story here that what Rav Nachman said earlier about a katan, he meant he was less than 13 years old. Remember, we had two shitas in that. And in addition, he didn't have full shtei saras, because Rabba was so nispoiled that these young children, Abai and Rava, knew l'mi mevarchim. It means that they probably were not only less than 13, they didn't have saras. And nevertheless, a katan shiyodei l'mim mevarchim, that alone is enough to fulfill Rav Nachman's requirement. Now, there are a lot of different opinions, la halacha, about the question of whether we could be mitzari, for example, a katan mutal barisa, a katan yodela mimavarchim, a katan poreach that doesn't have saris. In other words, if you hold that you can be mitzari for katan, we have to ask another issue: can you be mitzari for to a zimun shlosha or only to a zimun of asar for elokeinim? And also, what would be the din of a katan as far as tefillah when we need a minyan, or is there only a special kula and zimun, but we cannot be mitzari for katan for asar to tefillah? And if we can, exactly what age of a katan can be mitzarif? Again, all this is an iyun project that requires a lot of work. Vahainu di amri inshi, in other words, this reflects a phrase, an idiomatic phrase that's common amongst the people. Butzin butzin mikatfe yidia. Now, boots and boots are either maybe gourds or pumpkins that already they're underdeveloped, but you can tell where they're going. How? From katfe or kitfe. Kitfe means the saraf in Hebrew, which means that even before they reach some sort of a developed stage, you can tell where they're going from their sap. Now in the Hebrew he translates it as Hayotze Mimeno Mishas Chanita. So already in its early stage you can see this sap that comes out of the pumpkin. Vinitan Lahakiras Echus Hapri Imietov. You can already predict the quality of the fruit. In the English translation he has something a little bit different. He says, as soon as the pumpkin begins to sprout from the vine, transforming from the sap in the vine to a budding fruit. I don't know what he means by transforming from the sap in the vine to a budding fruit. What's transform? I don't know, it's a little bit unclear to me. In any event, this indicates that in the Nimshal, that even with human beings, from their actions in their child, in their young childhood, you can already tell how they're going to behave when they're older. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Bereid Rab Shmuel Bar Shilat. Shilat is Rashi Tevis Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid Mishmei Derab Tisha. You have 9 people. She'achlu, they ate pas dagon from one of the 5 species of grains. Echad Achal Yerek. You have a 10th person who only ate a vegetable, is mitztarfin. You can add the 10th and they could say Elokeinu. So in other words, even though the 10th man is not going to bench himself, obviously, but nevertheless, he can complete the Asara for a Zimun of Elokeinu. And the Mezamin himself, says the Mishnah Berurah, has to be one of the other 9 who's benching. Now this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda is actually brought down in the poskim, and they say that even if the 10th person drank wine, he would be mitzarif for a zimun of asara, and they could say Baruch Shachal Mishalo, Elokeinu Shachal Mishalo. And Shtiyas Bichlal Achila, take a look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil Tisha, and furthermore, this din would apply according to some Rishonim only legabi tzirf asara lezimun b'shem, but for tzirf shlosha for achiv zimun, if 2 people ate dagon, you cannot be mitzarif a 3rd who ate a yerek or drank a kos yayin. And that's based on a gemara back on Mem Zayin Amid Beis, that there are certain dinim that we're machmir more in shlosha than we are in asara. But the Yerushalmi quotes a halacha that even in the case of shnayim shalchu dagon v'yechad ochel yerek mitztarfim lezimun, and that's how the Ri paskins in his Tosfos. So there is a machlokas here about whether you can mitzarf the 3rd fellow who ate a yerek to the Zeman of Shlosha. And Lalocha, there's an Arichus Dvarim about this. Omar Rabbi Zera, boy me nay me Rabbi Yehuda, Shmona Mahu, V'Shiva Mahu. So what happens if we have 2 people out of the 10 who ate Yerek, or 3 people out of the 10 who ate Yerek? Can we be mitzarif them? And the suffix is based on the fact that Dafka Tisha, you can be mitzarif at 10th, because then Nirim Kasor, as we discussed in the previous Amud, but Shmona, that ate Dagon, that's not Nirim Kasor. And if you're going to tell me that even 2 you could be mitzaref, you could still be mitzaref about the mistafik about 3, because shmona is ein l'shnayim elu shir ziman li'atzman. The 2 are sort of bottled because they're not 3. They couldn't become in hilchos ziman a unit of ziman, but shiva v'shlosha shafu yerek is the shlosha can themselves be a unit for zimun, and therefore they would not be mitztarif. Amar li, and Rabbi Yehuda responded, lo shna. No, even in those cases we could be mitztarif them for zimun of asar. But shisha, what about 6 people who ate dagon? Lo mi boile. No, don't even bother asking me, because I don't really know the answer whether you can mitzarif 4 people who ate a yerek for the to be mashlim the zimun of Elokeinu. Omalei Rav Yirmiya Shapir Avdit Delo Iboilach. So Rav Yirmiya turns to Rav Zeira, and it's a good thing you didn't ask him about 4 people who ate a yerek, because that's not even a suffix at all. Sometime am I, if you're talking about 9 or maybe 8 or even 7, so the reasoning is Mishum de Ikaruba. So at least you have a rove of the Asura that ate Dogon. Hokanami Ikaruba. Here too, as far as Shisha is concerned, you have a rove that ate Dogon, and therefore it's Poshut that they are Mitzarfin Yachad. So you know, this is something we have to learn over and over again, that Rabbi Yirmiya is saying that once you heard 9, 8, and 7, you didn't have to ask 6, because 6 has the same din as 7, and the basic halach is that all you need is rove, and therefore 6 is enough of a rove. But you get the impression that Rabbi Zera himself wanted to ask the question of 6 also. It's just that that shisha lo mi boy li, that the word li here in the Gemara means that I didn't ask him, and he was basically saying chaval, that too bad I didn't ask him about 6. So Rabbi Yirmiya is saying, yeah, it's a good thing you didn't ask about 6, because 6 would be exactly the same as 7, 8, 9, because all you need is rove. But why was Rav Zera mitztayer? Why did he feel chaval that I didn't ask him about 6? Iyu savar ruba de minkar be'inan. It's not enough to have a pure rove, which would be 6, but we need a ruba de minkar, and that would be 2/3. And 6 is only 6/10. It's less than 2/3, and that's not a rove hanikar. The Bach proves from Rashi, take a look in Agos Sabach Os Aleph, that Rashi had a different girsa in the Gemara, and Rabbi Zera said shisha vai lo kami boile, meaning he was mitztayer that he didn't ask about the case of 6, which would mean that Rabbi Zera had a suffix whether 6 would be enough if 4 ate yerek, and they could say Elokeinu. He vacillated back and forth. And Rabbi Yirmiya was definite about it. In his mind, it was absolutely crystal clear that that all you need is rove. But then it says v'iyu savar. So the Gemara is asking, what was the tzad in Rabbi Zera that he was mitztar that he didn't ask this question, again according to Rashi's Girsa. And the answer is he thought maybe you need a rov minkar. But again, it seems from Rashi that Rabbi Yisrael himself was vacillating whether you need a rov minkar or rov is enough. And it's interesting that in the poskim, if you take a look in Tur or Chaim Simon Kuf Tzadi Zion and many other poskim, almost all of them, they say that if you have six who ate Dagon and four Yerek, that they're not mitztarif for Asara. And the Beis Yosef is really up in arms about this. He doesn't understand. I mean, since Rabbi Yirmi himself says that all you need is Rov and six is enough, Rabbi Zeir himself vacillated, and certainly we should paskin that for eating Yerek would be mitztarif. But again, if you go to the Pashtus HaSugya, then it could be that this is a machlokas between Rav Zera and Rav Yirmiya. That Rav Zera really thought it was poshut that six and four would not be mitztarif. You need a rov a minkar, and that's what ve'iyu means. And Rav Zera was definite about it. And you're not going to have the gears of vai, but you'll have the gears as we have it. And Rav Yirmiya was poshut in the opposite direction. There's no difference between six and seven. All you need is a majority. And if that be the case, then the poskim paskin like Reb Zera against Reb Yirmiya. We don't change that girsa. And four is not going to be mitztarif. Yanei Malka. So we're talking about Yanei Amelech. He was one of the Beis Chashmonaim, and unfortunately he wiped out Chachmei Yisrael because they tried to passel him from Kahuna to Sugyan Kedushin. Umalkasa and his queen, Krichu Rifta, Achlu Seuda, and Rifta means a pass, Bahari Hadadi Biyachad. And Tosa says that at this Su'uda, there were not 10 people. And they needed to be Mevarach Birkas HaMazon. Umid HaKotalu Rabbanon, since Yanai had killed all the Chachamim, Lo Havile Inish Levruche Lehu, there was no one who was capable of reciting the Bracha on their behalf to be Motzi Vem Yedei Chovasan. So the Tzlach is wondering, how did this come about that Yanai was the king and he didn't know how to make the bracha Birkas HaMazon? He says, Bechol Ochlei Shulchano, anyone who ate at his table, Lo Hoya Mishu Sheyoda Sheliyoda, they couldn't find someone who could make the bracha. So he says that Yanai didn't need someone to make the bracha on his behalf, but he needed an Adam Gadol V'Tzadik Sheyivarech Oso. He wanted the Birchas Oreach of Yehi Ratzon Shelo Yavosh Bal HaBayis Bal HaMazeh, etc., to come from a Tzadik and a Gadol. Omer Lahu, Omer Lo L'Dbeithu, so he turns to his wife, and he says, Man Yoiv Lon Gavra Dimavarach Lon. Who's going to give us someone who can make the bracha on our behalf? Amar Leh, so she responded, Ishtaba Li, I want an oath from you, De'imai Sinaloch Gavra Delo Mitzaris Leh, that if I can bring you one of the Chachamim who may have survived, then you would not be Mitzar him. And it's basically, it wouldn't be enough that to get a shvuah that he wouldn't, that Yanai wouldn't put him to death, but he wouldn't be mitzayim at all. That's what she wanted. Ishtabala, and he took the shvuah. Aisise l'shimon ben shetach achuha. She brought in her brother, and that was Rav Shimon ben Shetach. And she had hidden him during the time period when Yanai wiped out all the chachamim. Osive bein didei ledida. Yanai put Reb Shimon Shetach between him and his wife. He seated him there. Omar le. So Yanai Amel turns to Rabbi Shimon. He says, Chazis kama yikara of dinalach. Look at the covenant that I'm doing for you, that I'm putting you between the king and the queen. Omar lay, so Rav Shimon ben Shetach responds, Lav at kamokris lay. It's not you who are giving me covered, Ela oraisa he demokris lay, but rather the Torah that I studied is giving me covered. The Ksiv, Pasukim Mishlei, Salsileha usromimecha techabdecha kisechab kena. The Torah is meromemes. It uplifts a person. Mechabedes gives him honor because he's studying the Torah. Now, what does the word salsaleha mean? Let's take a look for a second in the English. Where is this salsaleha? He says, caress the Torah. And he writes here in the note from the Mitzudas David, Havi mechapes v'chozer l'dagdei tomid b'divrei Torah. So salsaleh is a kind of a mandate that we should always try very hard to be medagdei, to learn Torah carefully. And as a result, Rama Mecha, the Torah will uplift you, techabdecha, and it would honor you. The bottom line is, the honor that I'm getting is not because of me, but rather because of the Torah. Omer le, so Yanai says to his wife, kochazis d'lo makabel moros. I can see that he's not willing to accept marusi, which adnusi, my mastery over him. And that I can tell. In other words, he's arguing with me. You know, I said I wanted to give him such honor, and he's saying, no, the honor is not coming from you, it's coming from the Torah itself. He says here in the name of the Rashash that your brother's disrespect for monarchy proves that I was justified in having the rabbis executed. Hovule kasa lebruche. He gives Rav Shimon ben Shetach a cup of wine to recite Birkas Hamazon and to be motzi them yidei chovasam. Omar, he says to them. So this is Rav Shimon ben Shetach who's speaking now. Hechi avorech. How can I make the bracha with you? I didn't eat anything, and if I didn't eat, and the bracha says Baruch Shachalnu Mishalo, how can I say Baruch Shachalnu Mishalo? Baruch Shachal Yanai v'chaver of Mishalo. Is that what I should say? Baruch Shachal Yanai v'chaver of Mishalo. So Shasei Lahu Kasa, he drinks the cup of wine that they gave him, so that he can be part of the suda, and then Yahavu le kasa achrina ubarach, and they gave him another kas at the end of the meal for Birkas Hamazon, and he made a bracha on that kas as well. So there's a kasha here from the Rashba. We have halacha that he says, Ketzad, how is it possible? Sherashoy hoy Rav Shimon Shetach litztaref imon lezimen harei kishebolasham kfar simu Yanai HaMelech v'chaverov es udosam. You can only be mitztaref to a zimun if you somehow overlap during the suda. And the impression you get here is they were looking for someone to be mevarach. That means they had already the koshel bracha, they were ready for benching, they had already completed the suda. And the Gemara earlier on Daf Mem Zayin had a story with Rav and Shmuel that they finished their suda, and then Rav Shimi Bar Chiya came to join them. And I efshar lo adam nosaf litztarif lebofin shadayin lo simu rishonim. So the Gemara is clear that unless they they didn't complete their Suda, he cannot join them. Once they complete their Suda, there's no Tzirif anymore. So the Rashba quotes a Tosfos, Lamaisa, we have it in the Tosa Rosh, that Yanai had not completed the Suda, but in the middle of the Suda, he was already looking for a Chacham, who, by the time they get to the end of the Suda, they would find a Chacham who could be Mevarech for them at the end of the Suda. But the Rashba doesn't like that answer. It's possible that he thinks it doesn't fit into the pashtus of the Gemara. And therefore, he says, Tzarech Lomar, we have to say that even though Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach also came l'das atzmo, v'ein chaver of modim lo, that Enoch Hinami, Rabbi Shimon has his own unique shita, that you can mitzarev someone to the zimun even if he didn't overlap in the suda. However, the chaverim didn't agree with him. His colleagues rejected it. Now, there's an Arzarua here who says that Ein Omrim Din Zeh, this halach that you don't mitzarev someone who didn't join in the suda, that's only the ofen shetzrichem el litzirufon in a case like Rav and Shmuel. They were eating, the two of them, alone. They didn't have a third person. There was no Chiv Zimun, and they cannot be mitzarev Rav Shimi Bar Chiya because he didn't participate in the meal. However, here, in the case of Yanai, they had already enough people to be mezamein. They only needed Rav Shimon ben Shetach to be motzi them in the bracha, and in such a case, he could be mitzarev to them even after they finished the Suda. And he doesn't overlap with them on the Suda. Now, at the end of the meal, they gave him a second kos, and he made a bracha on the second kos. And this story is brought down in the Yerushalmi, but with a couple of different changes in the scenario. And it says there that at the time that Rav Shimon ben Shetach was around, there were shlosh meals nizirin michutz la'aretz. 300 nizirin came from chutz la'aretz. V'hutzruchu lahakriv shameos karbonos. Because each nazir is chayv in 3 karbonos, so they needed to bring 900 karbonos, and they didn't have the money to pay for that. So Rav Shimon ben Shetach found a petach lechatzi menazirim, he was matir their nazirus, but for the other half he couldn't find a petach and he couldn't be matir the nazirus. So in other words, instead of needing 900 karbonos, they now needed 450 karbonos. So he sent to Yanai HaMelech that he has 300 nazirim that need 900 karbonos. V'ischalku bazeh hu v'yanei ha-melech v'chol echad yitei mechza. So Reb Shimon Shetach agreed that he would pay for half of the 900 kabonis if Yanei would pay for the other half. So Yanei agreed, and he sent him the damim for 450 kabonis. But unfortunately, there was some person over there who was malshin. He snitched on Rav Shimon ben Shetach in front of Yanai HaMelech and said that in truth Shimon ben Shetach didn't need that hefty sum of money that Yanai gave him, and that he didn't give anything from his own money at all. So Yanai gets angry. Rabbi Shimon runs away until we have the Maisa that Nichbod Malchus Paras came to Yanai HaMelech. So these nichbodim, I don't know exactly how they knew about Rav Shimon ben Shetach, but they asked for him, and as a result, Yanai had no choice, but he called for Rav Shimon ben Shetach, and he promised him that he wouldn't be mazik him. And Rav Shimon Shetach himself sat down between the Melech and the Malka. And when Yanai HaMelech asked him about that, he quoted a memra from the Sefer called Ben Sira of Salsala Utramamecha Uvein Negidim Toshivecha. And afterwards, when Yanai asked him to be mezamen, he said to him, I can't be mezamen until I eat something. And he ate with them. So it wasn't enough that he drank wine, but he actually ate something, some solid foods. And Rav Nissen Gaon, based on this particular version, says that there was one maisa that happened at that period of time that Yanai Melech killed the Chachmei Yisrael. So this is all part of the story of Yanai killing out the Chachmei Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Abba Berei de Rab Chia Bar Abba Shimon ben Shetach the Ovid Legarmei Hu the Ovid, what he did here to be motzi them in a bracha, even though he only had a drink of wine, is Ladas Atzmo Asa. Again, according to our version in the Bavli, he only drank wine. So this was Rav Shimon ben Shetach's own decision. However, we're not Moda, we don't agree with him. The Hachi Om Rab Chiyavar Abam Rab Yochanan Li Olam, if a person is Motzi, someone else in his Zimun, he cannot be the mezamein and be motzi them in birchas hamazon unless he himself ate a kezayis dagon, meaning bread that comes from dagon, from the five species of grains. Now it's interesting that it's enough for one person to be motzi the rabbim if he ate a pas that has just the kezayis dagon. And the reason why that's surprising is because the Gemara established that a kezayis is only enough, this is back on Daf Chav, for a birkas hamazon derabanan, which according to Rabbi Meir is a kezayis, or kebetz according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now if someone ate a full meal and he had a loaf of bread, then he's chayv in birkas hamazon deoraisa, and someone who's only Drabbanan can't be motzi someone who's chayiv de oraisa, and that's why a katan can't be motzi his father. We're going to have to assume that kshelo ochala of kedei svir, that if the father, the only time that the katan could be motzi the father is only if the father did not eat kedei svir, so his chayiv is also Drabbanan. So Rashi Dimra Maskel Ad, which you'll see here, I don't know exactly halfway down, he says, Sha'odam ha-mechuyiv v'birkas ha-mozim rabbanon, once he's chayiv in birkas ha-mozim rabbanon, he's already considered a bar chiyuva, and he could be motzi someone who's chayiv min ha-Torah. Now, a katan cannot be motzi his father. That's because a katan is not chayv b'mitzvus even min rabbanon. He's only chayv b'din chinuch, but that's not even a chiyuv in that mitzvah. It's just a general chiyuv of chinuch. So therefore, the father is obligated to mechanech his child. The child himself has no chiyuv, and therefore a katan can't be considered bar chiyuv to be motzi his father. But if somebody ate enough of a shiur derabbanan in Birkas Hamazon, he ate a kezayis, he's already considered a bar chiyuva to be motzi a gadol who ate a full meal v'achalta v'savata in schayiv Birkas Hamazon d'oraisa. And Tosis Dibra Maskel Ad, which is on the bottom of the Amud, asks a number of questions, and therefore he says that the halacha is that an adam gadol, if he eats kedei svir, he's chayiv in Birkas HaMazon min HaTorah, and that's why he's considered a Baruch Yuvah to be motzi anybody who ate with his bracha. Ya'filim lo achal ata ma'uma shekein kol Yisrael arev zemzeh lezeh. So Tos understands that there's a din of arvus. So again, Rashi wants to make him into Baruch Yuvah right now. You know, it's now he's chayv birkas hamazon, but it's enough if he's chayv birkas hamazon derabbanan And then he could be motzi someone who's chayv in mirkas amos d'oraisa. Tosus rejects that. And he says the following, that since this person, if he would have eaten kidei sviya, he'd be chayv in mirkas amos min haTorah, he's considered bar chiyuva to be motzi someone, even if he didn't eat anything at all because of arvas, kol Yisrael, arev in zevaseh. That in all the mitzvahs, I can be motzi you, even if I'm not chayv at this moment, because I already fulfilled the mitzvah, is yotza motzi because of arvus. And Tosfos is taking this a step further, and he's saying that arvus operates even in a case where you didn't eat anything, but you're a bar chiyuva. Well, let's go back to the Gemara. Meisvei, the Gemara asks the following kasha. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, we have a braisa quoting Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Allah, if a person joins what's called a mita, you go up onto the bed where the other people are eating the suda, ve'hesiv imayim, and he joins them for the suda, filu lo tibel imayim ela batzir, even if he didn't eat anything in the suda, just he took a yerek and he dipped a vegetable that's called tibel imayim, puts it in some sort of a liquid rotev and he eats it, or alternatively, velo achal imayim el grogeres achas, or he ate one dried fig, is mitztaref, he becomes part of the zimun. And the Gemara thinks that Rav Shimon Gamliel is not going to make any difference between tziruf zimun and being motzi acher midei chovasam. In other words, once he's part of the zimun, then he could be motzi them in birkas hamazon. So we see from this that even someone who didn't eat dagon at all, he could be motzi the others in birkas hamazon. All he ate was a yerek or a fruit. And this is against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that we olam eino motzi de rab chavasach yochal kezayis dogon, that you have to have a minimum of a kezayis dogon to be motzi others. Again, why kezayis dogon is enough, that's Rashi's issue here. So the Gemara answers, it's terufe mitztarev. Rav Shimon Shetach holds, not that because he ate a fig or a vegetable, he could be motzi rab yidei chovasam. Certainly not. But what he wants to say is, it's terufe mitztarev. He meant to say that he could be the third member of his zimun, even though he didn't eat pas with them. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is being mechalik between two dinim. One din is tziruf lezimun, another din is to be motzi rab yidei chovasam. Is actually yochal kezayis dogon. In other words, he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that you need to eat a kezayis dogon minimum in order to be motzi the others in birkas hamazon. But he's adding that you don't need a kezayis dogon to be mitztaref to be mashlin the minyan, the number three for a zimun. Itmar Nami, and so we learned in the Beis Medrash, Omer Achina Bar Yehuda Mishmei Derov Afilu Lo. Here we'll turn to Mem Chesam and Beis Afilu Lo Tova Limaim Ela Betzir. So he took some sort of a vegetable and he dipped it into Rotev and he ate it. Velo Ochal Limaim Ela Grogeres Achas, or all he ate was one fig, is Mitztarev. But Lahotzi De Rabbi De Chovasam Ene Motzi Achi Ochal Kesayis Dogma. So once again, we see this distinction between A, can you be mashlim, the shlosha for zimun, and B, can you be mevarach the birkas hamazon on behalf of the others? Even though generally speaking, it's a package deal, but nevertheless, it's the two different dinim. So you can have one person who is not able to be motzi them yidei chavasa, but nevertheless, he's part of the zimun, and he in fact makes the zimun. He's the third party. Omer Avchina bar Yehuda Mishmei Derova Hilchisa, we paskin that Ochal Ole Yerek Ale Yerek Vishasa Koshel Yayin. So he ate a vegetable or he drank wine. Mitztarev Lahotzi Mitztarev, period. But lahotzi as a rabbi de chavos because what ain't a motzi ad she yochal kizayis dogon. So that to be mitztarif with others for zimun, he doesn't have to eat a kizayis, but rather an olah shel yerek would be sufficient. And it seems that an olah shel yerek, according to some of the achronim, is less than a kizayis, doesn't have a shear of kizayis. So even if he ate less than a kizayis, he still is mitztarif in moim lezimun. But lahotzi and imotzi ad sheyochal kizayis dogma. To be motzi them, you need another condition. Not only are you part of the zimun, but also, and you ate with them, but also you need min dogma. And only then can you motzi them yidei chovasam. But as far as being mitztarif, you don't even need a shir kizayis. And certainly you don't need min dogman, according to this hilchasa. All you need is an ola shel yerek. The Mordechai, on the other hand, paskins that you need a kizayis of whatever you're eating. We'll call it an ola shel yerek, call it a te'ena, a fig. So even though he's not going to be motzi, the others, the Mordechai nevertheless requires that he eat a kizayis. So do you need a kizayis to be mitztarif? Certainly you can't be motzi al cherem yidei chov vasot.